Paul Kanger joins us right now on this program. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Dr. Paul Kanger is a best-selling author. He's also a professor of history and political science at Grove City College. He also writes columns that are coming out regularly. One of his most recent books, by the way, is called The Devil and Karl Marx. Dr. Kanger, it's great to have you back on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much, Jerry. Good to be back.
Okay, let's talk about the recent attempts to impeach President Trump, or former President Trump, the second time around.
Yeah, well, I think the whole thing, Jerry, has been an absolute political farce, to tell you the truth. I mean, from the very beginning. For starters, this was a rash judgment by Democrats. I mean, there was the eminently debatable question of whether you can even impeach a sitting president or a non-sitting president, right? That's something that I've always considered a debatable issue at best. I mean, can you even impeach somebody who's no longer a sitting president? Then there were crucial questions not only of whether Trump instigated what happened at the Capitol building on January 6th, But how could House Democrats immediately rush to an impeachment vote before they even did an investigation on whether what happened at the Capitol was pre-planned or not?
Yeah.
Right? I don't know if you saw it. There were newspapers, the Washington Post, New York Times, others. They were publishing timelines which looked like the rioters were assaulting the building at the Capitol before Trump even finished his speech.
Right.
So if they were doing that and this was pre-planned, then how can you go and say that Trump instigated them? And let me add one more thing. If Trump instigated what happened, then how can it be that tens of thousands of people who were present at Trump's speech were not instigated, right, versus the few hundred who allegedly were? So if there were 40,000 people there and 200 went into the Capitol building, but 39,800 of them, didn't feel instigated, then how can you claim that this was an instigation, an inciting?
That's a great
point. So this was a snap House vote on impeachment without an investigation, without witnesses. By the way, there weren't even witnesses in the Senate trial because Democrats canceled those, and no due process. So this was a political rush job and a hack job by Democrats. The country needs to move on. You want unity, then pursue unity.
Yeah.
I think this was a political spectacle, and the deeper motivation, as you know, among all the Democrats and even certain anti-Trump Republicans, is that they wanted to use the second impeachment to disqualify the guy from ever running for office again. And that's what they were trying to do.
Yes, and one quick comment here. You mentioned that the breaching of the Capitol occurred before the president was even finished with his talk. And we should add one little detail here, too, which is that the talk was given in a location about 25 minutes away, walking within D.C. to the Capitol, 25 minutes. The reason I bring that up is because, it would have been very hard to get cars working or taxis, whatever, in that particular context. And another thing, when the Democrats showed the video, with all the people breaching the Capitol and doing vandalism and even hurting a guard and so forth, they left out, they included a part of President Trump's statement, but they left out the part where he says peacefully and patriotically protest, make your voice be known. That's what he said, make sure you do this peacefully. And they left that part out. I don't know why, but they did.
Yes. Well, I know why. And you know why, too.
I know.
And it's really egregious to see over and over again how they do that. I looked this morning because of something that I was writing for this. There were a number of videos that the Trump team presented last week, right? And the one with Fight, remember that?
Yeah.
Where he gave Trump's lawyer gave the example, yeah, over and over and over again of all the Democrats using the word fight, including Kamala Harris and others. And, you know, that was like an 11-minute video altogether. And then I was looking for this morning, because I saw it on Friday, the video of a whole bunch of different media sources that were considering the question of whether or not this was pre-planned. And they were doing it, they weren't considering the question in order to exonerate Trump, right? You know, they were looking at it, they're getting all their conspiracies, right, and all their accusations mixed up. But a whole bunch of them were considering that, whether or not it was pre-planned. I looked for that video this morning, I couldn't find it and anywhere on the web. So the media's bias in what it presents and doesn't present is really quite scandalous. It's outrageous.
All right, now let me ask you a question. As a political scientist and an historian and one very knowledgeable about American history, you wonder, is the whole idea of impeachment being so cheapened in what's happened to Trump twice now, really, that, you know, in future times, you know, maybe it won't be such a big bugaboo because, you know, they've kind of made it, you know, less important, if that makes sense.
Well, they actually did that a long time ago, and I'll give you an example of this. Every elected Republican president since Dwight Eisenhower, or after Eisenhower, has had articles of impeachment filed against them by the Democrats. Every single elected Republican since the time of Eisenhower. So these people, Jerry, are addicted to impeachment. This is what they do. They wanted to impeach one of the House managers. Would be from your area in Florida, right? I don't know if it's your specific, but from the state of Florida, Jamie Raskin, right? I mean, he was one of a whole bunch. You could add Rashida Tlaib to this, who infamously said, "We're going to impeach the," can't say it on the radio, right? The day after she was sworn in 2018. So, but it was Jamie Raskin. I mean, he from the very beginning, he fought. By the way, he fought the certification of electoral votes in 2017, and then, you know, questioned the legitimacy of the 2016 presidential election for 4 years. Something liberals tell us, you know, well, you can't do anymore, at least on the 2020 election. But Jamie Raskin, one of the Democrats' lead impeachment manager, he was seeking Trump's impeachment 4 years ago. He got it once. And then he sought it again for a second time. I would literally not be surprised, Jerry, if they try to impeach Donald Trump again in 2022. Does it cheapen it? Does it make a farce out of it? It does. I wrote a piece for American Spectator last week called "Impeach FDR," right? And I said, well, you know, now that we know that you don't have to be a sitting president to be impeached for certain high crimes and misdemeanors or other inappropriate conduct, why don't we finally impeach FDR for what he did to Japanese Americans with the internment camps? And of course, Republicans aren't going to do that. Republicans aren't going to try to impeach Hillary Clinton for Benghazi. They're not going to try to impeach Kamala Harris for whatever she might have said last summer that might have involved possibly inciting certain groups, because Republicans don't do that. But Democrats, they do. They do it. They're quite bold about it, and they'll continue to carry on with it.
Bill Maher said recently that the people who were inside the Capitol, the 200 or so that you referred to, the ones that breached the Capitol, he said those were evangelicals. And by the way, when I watched the video, I never heard so many uses of the F word from those 200 or whatever people. And it was like, I know lots of evangelicals. I am an evangelical. I never hear evangelicals talk like that, much less do those other things. But I just want your take on that.
Yeah, I saw an even a worse piece by David French, who's supposed to be a friend of conservatives. And he called what happened at the Capitol on January 6th a, quote, violent Christian insurrection. He called it a Christian insurrection, right? And which is just shows how he's kind of losing it there. Why would you want to call it a Christian insurrection other than that, you know, okay, so probably 90% of the people that were there are Christians. But, you know, 90% of Americans are Christians. Or I don't know, probably 70 to 80% of Americans are Christians. You know, you could call almost any event in America a Christian whatever, right? So why does he want to try to smear Christians by blaming Christians for this? There happen to be Christians there, but you can't call it a violent Christian insurrection. And by the way, literally 99% of the people who were at the Trump rally on that day, didn't storm the Capitol building. maybe the people that stormed the Capitol building were the non-Christians. How does he know it was a Christian insurrection? So this is the kind of craziness that that we're dealing with right now. It's a shame.
And what about the reports that, and I think you alluded to this, that the people inside the Capitol knew about potential violence to come on January 6th, but they knew that long before President Trump gave that speech?
Right. It's absolutely crucial, because if that's the case, then you can't possibly blame Donald Trump for inciting what happened on January 6th. And that's the kind of thing that the Democrats in the House, especially, and Nancy Pelosi, that's what's so egregious about what they did. Even before they had an investigation, even before they had a timeline of when the Capitol was stormed, even before the press published timelines of what happened in the Capitol, they immediately were voting for impeachment. And they did it that quick because they wanted to get it done before Trump left office, right? So they could try to get it to the Senate before January 20th. And so at that point, the Senate should not have even been considering it at that point, because at that point, there was proof that this was pre-planned, that Trump couldn't have instigated it. And that's what makes all of this such a joke. It's such a political spectacle. I think the worst part of all of it is that seven Republicans voted for it. I don't know what they were even thinking, but for the Democrats, this was a partisan spectacle. That's all that it was.
Well, those seven Republicans that you refer to, okay, Romney, Pat Toomey, didn't he used to be a conservative? I don't know anything about Burr from North Carolina, but Murkowski, Susan Collins, you know, some of it's the usual suspects, like Romney and Collins. But comment on them. Do you think that they have a great future in the Republican Party?
Well, it's interesting that in the case of Pat Toomey, who's my senator and a really good guy, and by the way, has like the highest conservative rating by the ACU of anybody in the Senate. Yeah, he's really solid. He's running for governor of Pennsylvania, I think. He's leaving the Senate. So I don't know in his case. Ben Sasse is another. Ben Sasse is really solid. And by the way, a really good evangelical Christian guy. And I was disappointed in his vote, too.
Well, I think they both felt, I mean, I know in the case of Sasse, he has made other statements against Trump in the past. How about Mitch McConnell? Mitch McConnell didn't vote to impeach the president or remove the, well, how can you remove him? But anyway, but on the other hand, he also made some sort of statement, you know, along the lines of just basically throwing Trump under the bus.
Yeah. Well, I think McConnell's been pretty good. I think conservatives are pretty hard on McConnell. I mean, look what he did for them with court picks. But, you know, ultimately, in the end, he didn't vote for impeachment. So, you know, I really can't complain.
Okay. Any last thoughts about impeachment? How do you think future historians will look back? What will they take away from this whole scenario?
I think they'll look back at it as a partisan spectacle, especially given that you know, it was a second impeachment. And you've got to look at it as a historian and say they did not have the evidence to run an impeachment vote through as they did.
Faithandfreedom.org is Paul's website at Grove City College. His latest book, again, is called The Devil and Karl Marx. Paul, we'll have you back on again to talk about that book. And I understand there's some censorship that you've been experiencing from big tech, Facebook and so forth. So it's amazing. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Jerry. Anytime.